In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of thy faithful, and enkindle in them the fire of thy love. Send forth thy Spirit, and they shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray, O God, who dost instruct the hearts of the faithful, by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit to be truly wise, and ever to rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. There is power in praying the rosary. Come with me to discover that power. That power that can change the world. That power that can change families, that power that can change each one of us. Each time we pray the rosary, Satan loses ground. Satan cannot exist where there is prayer, where there is prayer from the heart. Now, when we speak of the power of the rosary, we speak of the supernatural power that God releases. This power is released when we meditate on the 20 mysteries of Jesus Christ, which make up the soul of the rosary. And thus we look upon the face of Christ Jesus, our Savior. We do so in union with the Immaculate Heart of Mary. To cooperate with God and his Mother in releasing the power of the rosary, we must get to the soul of the rosary. Pope Paul VI already spoke of the body of the rosary and the soul of the rosary. Now, what's the soul of the rosary? The soul of the rosary is contemplating the divine mysteries of Jesus Christ as lived in the life of Jesus Christ on earth. These divine mysteries merited the salvation of the world and each one of us. And we place ourselves in the presence of Jesus Christ as he lived these 20 mysteries. The mysteries of Christ, the mysteries of the rosary, are then ours. We identify ourselves with these mysteries of Jesus Christ, we enter into them in union with the heart of Mary, these mysteries that merited our salvation. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, from the moment he came into existence with a human nature joined to his eternal divine person, was meriting grace for us. He merited grace at every stage in life, at every moment in life for us. The Son of God incarnate began to exist at the very moment when Mary replied to the Archangel Gabriel, "Be it done to me according to your word." At that moment, the human soul of Jesus was created. At that moment, the body of Jesus began to form in the womb of the all-holy Immaculate Virgin Mary. At that moment, when Mary spoke her fiat, "Be it done to me according to your word," the Son of God, who is infinite and eternal, now in our time, had joined to his infinite, eternal person a human soul and a human body like our own. Our bodies, our souls, yours and mine, begin to exist at the moment we were conceived, about 9 months before birth. And it is held that the soul is created at this moment of conception. That is why human life is so sacred. At every stage, beginning 9 months before birth. Then our person came into existence as God created it. Now there was a difference with Jesus Christ, our Lord God and Savior. His person, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, the Eternal Word, the Eternal Son of God, he always existed. His person was not created. And when Mary said, "Be it done to me according to your word," the second person of the Blessed Trinity, the Word of God, leapt down from heaven into Mary's womb. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The human nature of Jesus had a beginning. His divine nature, his person, had no beginning, always was. Now, the church uses the expression the hypostatic union. This means the union of the human and divine natures in the one divine person of Jesus Christ. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it magnificent, awe-inspiring? We call it the incarnation. The Word was made flesh. The eternal Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We celebrate this every Christmas. We prepare for this every Advent for 4 weeks. And we meditate on this when we pray the joyful mysteries of the Rosary. The mysteries of Christ are ours. In union with Mary, we meditate on the Annunciation with the eyes of our soul. And we see the Archangel Gabriel come to Mary with the good news. Mary fulfills the will of God with her response. And the Redeemer of the world comes among us. And next we go with Mary on her visitation to her cousin Elizabeth. And there we witness St. John the Baptist leap in his mother's womb as Mary greets Elizabeth, who exclaim, "How am I worthy that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And then Mary prays her Magnificat. "My soul magnifies the Lord." Now these are stupendous mysteries of faith. And when we pray the Rosary properly, we are there in spirit. We meditate with Mary. The mysteries of Christ are ours. The power of the Rosary is released. The divine mysteries of our salvation touch our hearts, our souls, our spirits, which are transformed more and more into the likeness of Jesus Christ. To this, Mary leads us. The mysteries of Christ are ours. And when we contemplate them in union with Mary, the power of these saving mysteries are released for God's glory and for our spiritual growth. Such is the power of the Rosary. Every time we pray the Rosary properly, Satan loses ground. The power of the Rosary is not in the beads, however beautiful they may be. A few weeks back this year, I stood with a group of American pilgrims in Poland before the miraculous image of Our Lady of Częstochowa. Celebrated Mass there too. For centuries, this icon has been the center of Marian devotion. It is the national shrine of Poland. One senses a presence of Mary there. One senses the spiritual power of Mary there, drawing her children to Jesus Christ. I was able to offer the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass just a few feet in front of this miraculous image that is many centuries old. And then on September 11, 1911, over Polish television before the icon, I led the Hail Mary. And afterwards, the shrine authorities surprised me by asking to meet with me. And they gave me a gift of a most beautiful red rosary, big beads, big large crucifix on it. The rosary crucifix is like the Pope's crozier. With the rosary came a certificate of a papal blessing. Now, there is symbolism in the arrangement of the beads, however, as pointed out by Pope John Paul II in his apostolic letter on the rosary, the Virgin Mary. He said, here the first thing to note is the way the beads converge upon the crucifix, which both opens and closes the unfolding sequence of prayer. The life and prayer of believers is centered upon Christ. Everything begins from Him. Everything leads towards Him. Everything through Him in the Holy Spirit attains to the Father. Now, the Catholics throughout Poland, each evening, and I hear that I'm a good portion of Poland, 9 p.m. every night, tune in by radio or television for prayers that are led from their national Marian shrine of Częstochowa. My pilgrimage group from America was privileged to be there on 9/11/2003. The people prayed for the victims of terrorism just 2 years before and since. It was then they gave me that magnificent, beautiful rosary. I treasure it as a fine memento. But there is no more power in those exquisite beads than prayers I offer on an inexpensive plastic rosary, which I often carry in my pocket. Why is this? It is because the power of the rosary is in the mysteries of Jesus Christ, lived in our own lives. The power flows from my response, your response, in faith and love to the mysteries of Jesus Christ as we contemplate them in praying the Hail Marys. No wonder His Holiness, Pope John Paul II, in his apostolic letter on the rosary, declaring the year of the rosary, presents the rosary when prayed with meditation on its mysteries as a preparation for a more fruitful celebration and participation in the sacrifice of the Mass. The rosary prepares us for celebrating the Eucharistic sacrifice. The rosary re-echoes the divine mysteries which we celebrate at the Holy Mass. What we meditate on in the mysteries of the rosary are made sacramentally present in the divine mysteries of the sacred liturgy. We are there. This is to say, in the sacraments and the Holy Mass, Christ Jesus is really present in all of his divine mysteries that he lived on earth, and all of those mysteries and power. He is present for the glory of the Father and for our salvation. He is present in the unity of the Holy Spirit. The power of the mysteries of Christ, which he lived at historical moments 2,000 years ago on earth, this power, this person of Christ, is every bit as powerful and present today through the Holy Mass and the sacraments as it was when first lived in his time upon earth. Remember Jesus when he's going to ascend into heaven? The apostle didn't like that. He's going to depart. He said, "It is expedient for you that I depart. Because if I do not go to the Father, if I do not depart, the Spirit will not come to you." This power and presence of Jesus and all of his mysteries are now able to be represented, present at every time and place where there is the divine liturgy of Mass and sacraments. The reality, the living reality of what Jesus did and who Jesus is, all are made present to us today. And what we contemplate in the mysteries of the rosary are sacramentally present in the divine liturgy we celebrate each Sunday, each church year, even each weekday. No wonder the church speaks of the Mass and the sacraments as the celebration of the divine mysteries of Jesus Christ. The Mass is spoken of that way. We're going to celebrate the divine mysteries. Don Geringer, that I mentioned during this sermon, who was a boy and played among the ruins of this ancient monastery of Font Gombau, he wrote many volumes on the liturgical year, and it was through his writing and study and preaching, especially, he had a great effect on the universal church of the reality of what the liturgy is. The divine liturgy, of course, means Mass and sacraments, that the reality of the power and presence of Christ actually are made present sacramentally. We're just as present to them as if we lived with Christ 2,000 years ago. And when we have meditated the 20 mysteries of the rosary, the Pope tells us we are better prepared for the divine realities to be released into our very lives as we become one in Jesus Christ. Thus, there is power in the rosary. The mysteries of Christ become ours. Do you see why Pope John Paul II has repeatedly said, "The rosary is my favorite prayer"? I was at Fatima one time, and the priest was preaching, apparently brought over a group. You know, Our Lady at Fatima said every time, pray the rosary every day, and she insisted it be prayed properly, meditating on the mysteries. Even to little Jacinta in the church at Fatima, she showed the tabulus or pictures of all the mysteries, teaching that little 7-year-old girl how to pray the rosary properly. And this priest said, well, of course, the rosary, that's a prayer for the laity. We priests have the divine office. And I had all I could to keep my mouth shut and shout out, but the Pope says the rosary is my favorite prayer. How come it's not yours? But I've also seen priests go there acting very educated and tough, and all of a sudden grace hits them, and then I humiliate it. And they cry before everybody like a little baby, and I want to applaud. The sacrifice of the Mass is the favorite and most powerful prayer of our parish family. But the rosary should be the favorite prayer of our individual families, our individual persons, our families, which are miniature mystical bodies. Each family is a little church. The Pope calls the family the church of the home. And what better prayer can they pray than pray the rosary properly? Not just Our Fathers and Hail Marys, but the mysteries. We can obtain all the things needed by praying the rosary properly. We are not to give a magical meaning to the power of the rosary. It does not mean we will get whatever we want, but we will get whatever we need. And often what we want for ourselves is not for the good of our souls, and it is not for God's glory. God knows what is best for our souls. God knows what glorifies and saves. The soul of the rosary, meditating on the mysteries, is powerful. If we only pray the body of the rosary, that is, the litany of so many Hail Marys and Our Fathers and Glory Bees, without attention to meditation on the mysteries of Jesus Christ, then, said Pope Paul VI in Mariolus Cotus, that is like a dead body without a soul. Then the rosary is like a corpse. Our Lady of the Rosary has used 2 shrines in the world as significant locations from which to spread her rosary message throughout the world. There is Fatima, but before that, there was the world famous shrine of Our Lady of the Rosary of Pompeii in Italy. How many of you heard of Our Lady of Pompeii? I'm going to tell you a little more about it then. The shrine of Our Lady of the Rosary of Pompeii is where Pope John Paul II went this year, the Rosary, October 7th, the feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. And I was happy to be there and lead the rosary in Pompeii in the Jubilee year of 2000. This shrine of Pompeii was founded by Blessed Bartolo Longo, who was born in 1841 in Lanciano. Pope John Paul II, in his letter, refers to Blessed Bartolo Longo responding to the Spirit in erecting in Pompeii a shrine today that has a world outreach. And we could not be helped but be struck by Our Lady being known from Pompeii under her title of Queen of the Rosary. And at Fatima, years later, in 1917, she gave her name as Our Lady of the Rosary. There at the close, in Fatima, at the close of 1950 Holy Year, Pope Pius XII had her crowned Queen of the Rosary. I want to tell you of the title which is most dear to our Heavenly Mother in just a few minutes. Now, we know that all of her privileges flow from being the Mother of God. As a mother, she listens to us. She responds to us. As a loving mother, she truly shows herself a mother. Now, most are aware of the ancient city of the pagan and sinful city of Pompeii in southern Italy, close to Naples. It was destroyed in 79 AD by the violent eruption of Mount Vesuvius. And the story of Our Lady of the Rosary in Pompeii is of the new Pompeii, which contains one of the most famous shrines of Christianity, tied in its origins and development to the life of its founder, Blessed Bartolo Longo. Now, Pope John Paul II made much of Pompeii during the Year of the Rosary. New Pompeii owes its existence to one single man following the inspiration of the Holy Spirit for a sanctuary town. It is a true story of the miracle of Pompeii. The divine inspiration of having to serve the Queen of the Rosary in Pompeii brightened the human and religious life of this man. And the accounts of the sanctuary of Pompeii, a part of the papal estates, speak of conversions and prayer. It is little wonder that Pope John Paul II, who speaks so often of the need for the new evangelization, and whose motto is Totus Tuus, totally yours, in consecration to Mary, would visit the Queen of the Most Holy Rosary Sanctuary at Pompeii and give it special recognition in the Jubilee year 2000, and then again for the Year of the Rosary. The Shrine of Our Lady of the Rosary of Pompeii also has an interesting story of an image of Our Lady of the Rosary. The image was originally ugly, but was transformed by artists. And today on that picture, during the Year of the Rosary, it was on the front page of Observatore Romano, the Vatican newspaper, every issue. And one sees St. Dominic and St. Catherine of Siena in veneration before Our Lady of the Rosary in this image of Pompeii. This shrine with the image of Our Lady of the Rosary and the resulting call to pray the Rosary resulted in the founding of the town of the new Pompeii. The old Pompeii, as you call it, was all buried under the lava and so on. And from the new Pompeii, like Fatima, throughout the world, it beckons us to pray the Rosary and tell of the power of the Rosary. As director of the Fatima Family Apostolate, I have been mindful throughout 48 years in the Holy Priesthood of Jesus Christ, that it was as a teenager making the 54-day Rosary Novena of Our Lady of the Rosary of Pompeii, that I was led to the seminary to prepare for Christ's holy priesthood. How many of you heard of the 54-day Rosary Novena? Okay, some of you. Now, the 54-day Rosary Novena is an uninterrupted series of rosaries in honor of Our Lady, revealed to the incurably sick Fortuna Agrelli by Our Lady of Pompeii at Naples on March 3rd, 1884. After Fortuna and her relatives had begun a novena of rosaries for a cure, our Blessed Mother appeared to her saying, "Make three novenas, and you will obtain your request." Three novenas, that means 3 times 9, 27. But they did this. And later our Blessed Lady said to her, "Whoever wishes to receive favors from me should make three novenas of prayers of the rosary in petition, and three more novenas in thanksgiving." 27 plus 27, that's 54. Three in petition, three in thanksgiving. She said, Our Lady said, "You have invoked me by various titles and have always obtained favor from me. Now, since you have called me by that title so pleasing to me, Queen of the Holy Rosary, I can no longer refuse the favor that you ask, for this name is most precious and dear to me, Queen of the Holy Rosary." These words were spoken by our Blessed Mother in 1884 in the approved apparition of Our Lady, which occurred at Naples, Our Lady of Pompeii. It was in the house of Commander Agrelli, where our Heavenly Mother deigned to make known the manner in which she loves to be invoked. The Queen of the Holy Rosary favored Fortuna with an apparition on March 3rd. Mary, sitting upon a high throne surrounded by luminous figures, held the divine child on her lap and in her hand a rosary. The Virgin Mother and the Holy Infant were clad in gold embroidered garments. They were accompanied by Saint Dominic and Saint Catherine of Siena. And Mary looked upon the sufferer with maternal tenderness. And the patient saluted her with the words, "Queen of the Holy Rosary, be gracious to me. Restore me my health." It was on this occasion that the Mother of God made known the manner in which she loves to be invoked and the title she holds as precious and dear to her, Queen of the Holy Rosary. Now, the 54-day Rosary Novena consists of praying the Rosary of petition every day for 27 days, and then regardless of whether one thinks he or she has received the answer or not, 27 more days or three more novenas in thanksgiving. I had the desire in my heart to be a priest as far back as I can remember, perhaps even before the first grade. I was in the parish of the Immaculate Conception in Watertown, South Dakota, which had many hundreds of families and had existed for many decades. And yet never was a priestly vocation from that parish ever realized. And we thought priests dropped down out of heaven, or at least came from Ireland. In my teen years, I found a booklet one day entitled The 54-Day Rosary Novena. It was the Rosary Novena of Our Lady of the Rosary of Pompeii. And I began the rosary with a petition that someday I could go to the seminary so as to become a priest. Now, for a farm boy from a parish that before then knew no local priestly vocation, that seemed an impossibility. But I had faith and trust and started the novenas. And there were sacrificial meditations with each of the mysteries of the rosary. And carefully I read the meditations each day, which I knew make up the soul of the rosary, which I now know. I didn't know then. In fact, I don't recall before that ever realizing you were supposed to meditate on the mysteries of the rosary. And finally, the 54-day novena days were completed and things developed that I got into the seminary. It took an accident of a broken leg to get me there, but that's another story. I've always considered my going to the seminary and finally being ordained the answer from Our Lady, the Queen of the Rosary, to the 54-day Rosary Novena. It's powerful. I've made it 3 times in my life. And each time, what I prayed for happened. The power of the rosary is seen in Our Lady of Fatima's words on May 13, 1917. Say the rosary every day in order to obtain peace for the world and the end of the war. The peace of the world and the end of the war can come through praying the rosaries, he's saying. On July 13th, Our Lady said, continue to say the rosary every day in honor of Our Lady in order to obtain peace for the world and the end of the war, because only she can obtain it. What does it say? When we pray the rosary and pray it properly, we, as it were, empower Mary to have powerful intercession even unto ending a world war and bringing peace to the whole world. The message of Fatima begins with the Holy Eucharist and ends with the Holy Eucharist. The Holy Eucharist, or the sacrifice of the Mass, brings us the real presence of the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But the Mass is still more than that. Notice I said the sacrifice of the Mass. This means when we are at Mass, Jesus offers, perpetuates, here and now, the same sacrifice of himself which he offered on Mount Calvary that first Good Friday. When we are at Mass, we are just as present at Jesus' infinite sacrifice of the cross as we would have been had we stood with Holy Mary and St. John the Apostle at the foot of the cross on Calvary. The year before our Blessed Mother appeared, holding her rosary, extending her rosary down to us, and begging each time that we pray the rosary daily and properly, the angel of the Holy Eucharist appeared. The angel left the chalice and the host suspended in midair and fell down in adoration of God in this most blessed sacrament with his head to the ground, and the children did the same. First, the angel held in his hands a chalice surmounted by a host, from which some drops of blood were falling into the chalice. What does this tell us? The precious blood of Jesus is in the host, as well as in the chalice? Yes. Jesus' whole entire body, blood, soul, and divinity under both consecrated forms? Yes. But more. Jesus' body is shedding his precious blood the same as he did on Calvary. We are reminded at Fatima by the host with his blood falling into the chalice that every holy sacrifice of the Mass perpetuates the sacrifice Jesus offered on the cross. Fatima ends with the Holy Eucharist. This time it is June 13th, 1929, and now Lucia is in the convent. She had permission to stay up late and make a holy hour before the most blessed sacrament. And suddenly the whole chapel was illuminated by a supernatural light, and a cross of light appeared above the altar, reaching to the ceiling. In a bright light, at the upper part of the cross could be seen the face of a man and his body to the waist, God the Father. On his breast there was a dove, also of light, Holy Spirit. And nailed to the cross was the body of another man, God the Son, Jesus Christ. And somewhat above the waist, Lucia could see a chalice and a large host, again suspended in the air, under which some drops of blood were falling from the face of Jesus crucified and from the wound in his side. And these drops ran down onto the host and fell into the chalice. And Our Lady was beneath the right arm of the cross. It was Our Lady of Fatima with her Immaculate Heart. And in her left hand, without sword or roses, but with a crown of thorns and flames, under the left arm of the cross, large letters, as of crystal clear water, which ran down over the altar, form these words, graces and mercy. We see here too that Fatima is telling us the offering of the Mass, celebrating the Holy Eucharist, is perpetuating the sacrifice of the cross, and we are present. We participate. Fatima begins and ends with the Holy Eucharist. Each time Our Lady says, pray the rosary every day. How grateful we are to Pope John Paul II for opening up even more fruitful way of praying the rosary and preparing us for the divine liturgy of the Mass. He has given us now the five luminous mysteries, the mysteries of light. I have been giving retreats about the country on the 20 mysteries of the rosary. What a joy to preach on the mysteries of light. With these luminous mysteries, we now meditate on the baptism of Jesus Christ in the River Jordan, the marriage feast of Cana, the proclamation of the kingdom, call to conversion, the transfiguration, finally, Jesus instituting the Holy Eucharist. What power can come from meditating this public life of Jesus Christ? What power can come from the family that prays the rosary together while giving short meditations on the meaning of each mystery? Think of the father of the family announcing the fifth luminous mystery to his children. Jesus institutes the Holy Eucharist. And then the father could give to his children a short meditation like, the night before Jesus died, he took bread and wine and changed it into his own body and blood for us to receive in Holy Communion. Jesus said he was going to die on the cross and that whenever the apostles offered the Holy Mass, Jesus would make present himself and his death on the cross. And then the Father would say, let us keep this in mind. Make a picture of that in your mind. Put yourself there with Jesus at the Last Supper, instituting the Holy Eucharist, while we pray the 10 Hail Marys. What a fact that would have on the children of the family. Dear people, most parents are living almost like pagans in their home. All of these opportunities that would be so simple, they're doing nothing. And their children are growing up in utter ignorance. It's why the Vatican almost 20 years ago asked me to found the Fatima Family Apostolate for the holiness of the family. All of these opportunities, and they're doing nothing, most of them. They make fun of the homeschooling families. Those homeschooling families that I meet in various places in the United States are where the children are disciplined and they know their faith and they practice their faith. They're the hope of the future, and that is where vocations are going to come from in the future. So don't ever make fun of homeschooling families. Thanks be to God, they're growing now by leaps and bounds. They're doing the things like I'm talking about. There's power in the rosary. All Catholic individuals and families praying the rosary would release untold power through the intercession of the Mother of God, the Mediatrix of Grace, and the Spouse of the Holy Spirit, who had the dignity, said St. Thomas Aquinas, approaching the confines of the infinite. Heaven has asked us to pray the rosary daily and properly. We cannot afford to avoid this call of heaven. God bless you.